Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome once again to Madame Perry Salon, the podcast in cyberspace. Hey, you know what? I am happy to be here, Madame Perry, but you can call me Jen, Jennifer JP. I'll be your hostess, your groove mistress, and your spiritual advisor for tonight. And everything has been so much fun. And guess what? I now have hired a producer at last. Yes, thank you. Her name is Megan Whitlock. A lot of people have talked to her lately. And because of her, you know, I had done fewer shows the last few months because I was dealing with some legal matters for my mother's estate and different things like that, different boring things. And so she's taken over. So now we're going to get the schedule back on. Now, you know, recently we had Brandi Stillwell. Now, you may know some of her work. She's been in film, but she's also worked on shows like Mad TV, Family Guy, American Dad. Also live shows. She's with Second City, and The Groundlings. Also a live show called Hollywood Hell House that takes place at an abandoned taco restaurant in between a strip club and a car wash somewhere in Los Angeles. Several celebrities take part in these, it's like a, oh, whether they call those a haunted house or like a trip through hell or different things. So anyway, Brandi's knew that she, the first time she was on, we were talking about her comic book. It's her first comic book for DC Comics called Sasquatch Detective. She created the character and the story. And this time she was on with her new book, None of This is Going According to Plan. I guess that's about life in Hollywood. And if you listen to it, you know, at one point I just pushed the microphone away and laid my head down the desk so I could laugh. It's that funny. But that was fun. Oh, Moses Moe from the band Mother's Finest, original and still guitar player for Mother's Finest, was on last week. He's out with his other project, Moses Moe and the Real Cool Band, on tour, and they have new music out. And coming soon, let me tell you who we have. He's been here before, but it's been a while, but he's out on tour with new stuff. You may know him mainly as a bassist with Todd Rundgren, Blue Oyster Cult, Don Felder, with Joan Jett. But he's also a guitarist, plays several instruments, songwriter, performer, Chasm Sultan. Yes, Chasm Sultan. Just saw him a few months back on the last tour with Todd Rundgren. And he's on tour now with his solo material, which is outside. The stuff is banging. He's going to be several places in the northeast part of the U.S. in the next month, and then in Atlanta in February, and it just keeps on going. But Chasm Sultan will be here, I believe it's on February 22nd, he'll be in Atlanta, but I think it's a couple of weeks before that. Also, some people ask me why we used to have a lot of NASA JPL experts on the show. Haven't had any lately. And my guest tonight just reminded me, as he was counting down the liftoff from the intro of the show, yeah, we haven't had any NASA people lately, and we need to. So we'll get that going on. Now, tonight's guest is an author, and he's also a fascinating guy, very entertaining. It's a story called Wild Dogs, An Adventure in Adolescence. If you check the book out, the blurb reads, a desire for power and respect can make you do crazy things, especially in high school. And after all, there's no greater reward than the attention of your peers. So this is a personal story that tells me became an urban legend. So I cannot wait to get started here. So please welcome tonight to Madame Perry Salon, Christos. Come on in.
How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
I'm delighted to have you here. Christos, go ahead and introduce us by your whole name so that I won't get it tangled up with my southern accent.
Christos Calligaroo is what I've been telling people for years, and I'm probably saying it wrong myself. So,
okay, Christos Calligaroo. So, welcome to Madame Perry Salon. Glad you're here. And let's just get right to it. Tell us about Wild Dogs, an Adventure in Adolescence. Now, I got to tell you, my producer, Megan, and I thought, Wild Dogs, oh, it's an animal book. We can't wait. And we go, oh, it's an animal book of a different type of
animal. So it's about
animals,
all right. Yeah, absolutely. I went to a from grades 9 to 12 with some hiccups in between. I was a co-ed boarding school, and I was felt I was kind of not sent away, but my family wanted me to get a better education, and that's the place that they picked, and it ended up being, you know, probably the most influential time in my life, and I carry with me even, you know, several years later, so.
All right, so so you go there when you're, what, 9 years old or ninth grade?
Oh, no, ninth grade, so I would have been about, ooh, I think 15. I was 14 or 15. 15, yeah.
Okay. Any of your friends go there with you, or were you there just a complete
stranger?
Yeah,
yeah. I had a good friend of mine from my hometown whose family moved to St. Albert. And our parents kind of decided, you know, like, it might be good for both of us, et cetera. It was predominantly at the time, and in a lot of ways still is you know, orientated around the sport of hockey. And I, not only did I not really play hockey, but I could barely skate, and now all of a sudden I'm in the school with some of the top players in all of the world for their age group. So it was quite an interesting dynamic, and made some lifelong friends, and some went off and got scholarships or ended up going to play professional hockey, be it domestically or abroad. And it was an exciting place, an exciting time.
I'll say. So so at least you had someone you knew with you. You weren't just going in as a maverick, totally. How about your friend? Did he skate, ice skate or play hockey?
He definitely played hockey for sure, and then, I mean, other sports. And, I mean, I ended up playing a little bit of rugby or soccer or what have you. Playing, not playing well, just to be clear. But predominant that they had most kids that went to school there were playing sports, some type of a sort of sport. So it was a predominantly a sports school, and we had the priest that started our school always talked about the mind, body, and the spirit. So he found sport very important, just as important as the classroom, and that dynamic really worked well together, and they carry on his legacy still. The school has been around over 100 years now, and it's still very near and dear to my heart, and a lot of other people that I know either went to school there at the same time as me or before or after.
Well, now, so going off to boarding school would seem like, you know, it could be fun because your parents aren't around to tell you what to do every night, but I guess somebody else is?
Yeah, we definitely had some parent-like figures, but, I mean, kids are kids. They're going to get into mischief no matter what. Yeah, I looked at it in a lot of ways, like, wow, I get to have a sleepover every night. And a lot of these people became lifelong friends. And, you know, I did know somebody from my hometown before we went there, but we became friends with so many other people. We were all kind of in the same boat, you know, being away from your family. And it was a very good experience for me. And I got to learn about other ways of doing things from either my peers or staff and students, and you pick what you kind of liked and you shape your own character around that. Certainly had some hiccups along the way, as people will read about, but in the end, that place is the reason I am where I am today, and continue to grow with you know, personal and other ventures, and I have Notre Dame to thank for that, as I know many other people do as well.
So then let's get to the heart of this story. You the what I get, I mean, desire for power and respect, like you do crazy things, and apparently yours. Now, I got to tell you, I'm not going to be judging you here. I'm going to be feeling for you because I've done some practical jokes. I had a friend. We used to pull these things all the time. But the danger part and the reason we had stopped for a while is because they seem to take on a life of their own.
Yeah,
so,
I love that.
And,
I relate to that.
To the point where, I mean, even when we heard other people talk about it, we tried to tell them that it wasn't true, and they, oh, no, I know it's true. I know it's true. I've got proof. And they go, you don't have proof. You can't have proof. But so I'm really going to settle back and listen to what somebody with youth and nerve and ingenuity did, because I was an alleged adult working in an office with my friend and I did this. So why don't you just lay the story on us, Christos?
So my grade 9 year, you know, you're like a, you know, a new boy, we used to call it. They don't have that system now, but you're in with a bunch of kids that have never been there before. And back then you had to, you know, you got in where you fitted. And but when I was back home, you know, you'd mouth somebody off or let somebody off and you could run away, but you couldn't really do that at private school. And these weren't like, they weren't, you know, giving it to you, but, you know, they put you in your place if you deserved it. And slowly as I got older and I was in my grade 10 year, there were some kids that were older than me, and how we used to do these things called like pizza runs, right? So there'd be two kids in a dorm and they'd say, okay, well, we're getting money together for everybody to get pizza, right? So you'd pay them like 10 bucks. The pizza was $8. So they would have in the hopes at the end of the night when they were to put in the money for their pizza that they'd have enough money to get a free pizza for themselves. So when I got into the grade 10 dorm, I realized that they did this pizza run stuff with alcohol. And I had never really drank before, but I'm like, well, that sounds like some shit that I want to get into. So I became, I wouldn't really say friends with these guys, but they were older than me. They were in the grade 12 dorm. So our dorms were connected, but they were on the other wing. And in my book, there's a map, and it kind of explains if my words don't do it, you can actually kind of see what I'm talking about. And they told me, okay, well, if you get this many guys, we'll give you a free flask of vodka or boot Mickeys, we call them in Canada. So I said, yeah, shit, that's perfect. That's great. So I was doing this every Friday and Saturday. So I did that. I think I was drinking every weekend for, oh my God, I must have been from the, I would say like the second week into school of my grade 10 year all the way up until like January. And I started spending some time with, you know, a girl that I had spoken about in my book, and she was just kind of like, hey, just promise me you're not going to like drink anymore. And I did, and I didn't touch it until one more time. And that's all explained in my book. But when I went back in grade 11, I was on my own again, what have you, you know, idle hands gets you into trouble. And over the summer, I was corresponding with my brother quite a bit because we were working together about how much money these kids pay for alcohol. So we were like, hey, let's take out the middleman. So he started sending me alcohol, and I don't want to give too much of it away, but I started to become the distributor for alcohol to school. And like you said earlier, that a lot of these things have a mind of their own. This thing became a monster that I couldn't control. And I don't want to give
like
the rest
risky
away.
Business.
That's the core of it. I think that's the most I've given away on any podcast that I've done, but you kind of got me going there. So.
Okay. Now, were there, yeah, okay. So without giving out too much, were there talk about any danger situations?
Oh yeah. There were times when I was very close to getting caught. We never would sell the alcohol to kids in the grade 9 dorm. Just quite, you know, that age group is smaller. I mean, this is funny that I'm saying this is like, I'm in the 11th grade, like I'm talking like I'm a grown man, but to someone in grade 11, someone in grade 9 is quite small. And I mean, the dangers of alcohol poisoning or what have you. So we were pretty aware of the team that I had that we were distributing it about just to not give it to that group of individuals. And yeah, it was a harmless until it wasn't. And mm-hmm. we got young kids here, and it's like you let a bunch of orangutans out of a cage and then you give them alcohol. I just don't think that that's a good idea, no matter where you are. So mm-hmm. I learned the hard way about, you know, paying the consequence. And I just wanted to turn those negative times into a positive message for a lot of people.
What kind of response have you gotten from readers about Wild Dogs?
Well, you know, the name kind of makes people's eyebrows wiggle or move up, that's for sure. But it's been good. I mean, I just wanted to write a book to make some friends laugh, and it's done drastically better than that. It hit the Wall Street Journal and the USA Today, which was something I never expected. And we're just kind of rolling with this. It's been a wild ride. And besides the message of what I did and what I went through, all the proceeds of my book go to the Mandy Schwartz Foundation, which is something that I hold very dear to myself. And I want people to read about that and get involved if they can. And, you know, we're not asking people for money, but when you purchase my book, all of the proceeds go to Mandy's Foundation, and then they can get involved further from that if they'd like. And yeah, you know, life isn't fair sometimes, and certain people get the butt end of the stick, and other people are fortunate enough to get to learn from their mistakes and try to make a new and turn around and help people. And I'd like to think that that's all I can do with what I've been given and what we've published here. So that's pretty much it, I think, for that. Yeah.
When you were going to school, did you, I mean, of course, when we're doing our special projects that end up taking a life of their own, you never think about, you know, being outed or outing yourself. But at any point in your life, did you ever think about being a writer at all of other things? Or what were your plans to do with your life?
I always felt that Notre Dame was a story that needed to be told. We had some individuals, Jack Gorman is one of them, and the other one is a collection of stories. These were printed many, many years ago. And it was just a version of our school that is now like outdated because it was so long ago. And everything has just changed so much. And there had never been like an updated version. And I wanted to tell a story that was told by me, but it's really everybody's stories. And it just touches it's the tip of the iceberg of like the funny, innocent fun that we had there and how it shapes you as a person. And I don't think I ever wanted to be a writer. I loved to tell stories when I was younger or turn things into comedy to help me deal with things. Never did I thought that I would publish something. And I just always something that I had talked about a year after I graduated. And it just took about 16 years, and just in August 17th of last year, we completed it. So it's just amazing still for me to look at and think that this is something that I did, and there's so many people that get to be a part of it that are so near and dear to myself. So I certainly will be writing another book kind of about what happened after I graduated, but I mean, I haven't even put pen to paper with that yet. So this is pretty much it for a while.
How did you prepare your parents for this book?
You know, if I would have published this maybe like 5 or 6 years ago, it would have been a completely different book. But I think as you get older, you mature more. And if you're gonna make fun of anybody, you want to make fun of yourself to kind of show other readers out there that, you know, you're not alone. Everybody goes through stuff. It's kind of your perspective and how you deal with it. I'm sure that they were nervous. I think probably a lot of it, they probably thought, yeah, sure, like, and just kind of rolled their eyes, but I actually did it, and their response has been good, and they enjoyed it, and I don't think they would tell me if they didn't, but I've had some people reach out to me that I know that are, you know, it's funny because you write a book, and then you want to get everybody a copy, and I feel like a lot of people that I haven't heard from, it's not because they don't want to congratulate me, but they're like, oh, I haven't read your book yet. And that doesn't really matter to me. It's like, you'll get to it. You know, people get busy and they'll get to it when they get to it. And it's been nice to have these, you know, sporadic messages from people when I least expect it that say, hey, just picked up your – people I haven't talked to in years. Like, hey, I picked up your book, and I loved it, and I love what you're doing. And it just makes me so motivated and so happy that it's being received in that way. And, yeah, I mean, it's my story. It's the truth. Whether people like it or not, it's what happened. I don't have anything to hide. I think that everybody has a story to tell. It's how you tell it. And it's unfortunate that not enough people do. So I'm really glad that I had Tucker and everybody at Scribe Media that helped this become a reality is just something that I'll never forget.
Looking at some of the reviews on different sites, and I like how this there was one, Grady Harp, who of course is one of the most popular reviewers on Amazon. Like, Crystal's opens his refreshing book with a spot-on description of the campus of the College of Focus and then alerts the reader as to the content of his memoir in the prologue. And he has a quote, "The day I got expelled from Ethel Murray College of Notre Dame," which isn't really a college but a private school, like a prep school but without the uniforms, "was the worst day of my life. I wasn't just leaving. Indeed, I was leaving my life behind." And it goes, "You spent years making a name for yourself until it caught up with you. All my friends, the daily laughs, the odd struggles were gone. I was out." And here, and this is the maturity speaking. "I wanted to be angry at somebody, but I couldn't because there was no one to blame but myself. I created a shitstorm, and now I was dry heaving in it." Damn.
Yeah, that's the truth. That's I think the best stuff people write come right from the heart. You know, that I've heard that Billy Joel wrote "New York State of Mind" in under 10 minutes, and that's probably one of the greatest songs ever made.
No kidding.
I think that's a lot of case with a lot that goes across a lot of different categories of what people do for occupations. If you have it in you, it just kind of flows out. I'm not saying I'm a writer. I guess I am now. But a lot of these things just, I was never stuck on. They were very easy to write because it was the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So and that was still the worst day of my life.
Pulling out the truth, I have a lot of people, and as a publicist myself, you know, I've had a lot of authors who say, well, my book is fiction, but I did assign some traits or experiences to characters based on my own. Which made them, and that's you know, it's like really letting somebody into your home to look through your closet and all your personal notes and your browsing history and so forth. That's really opening up a lot. Is that difficult, or does it become less difficult
because
there's time between?
There were certain parts that were difficult because you don't want to offend anybody. However, a lot of times you have to tell the truth of what happened. And yeah, there were some casualties, if you may, with some of the things that I did. It just wasn't about the position that I put it certain people in. It was, I had somebody very wise tell me way after I graduated, when you're a teenager, you think that the sun rises and sets around you. And that always stuck with me and still does now. And I think that this is what this story is about, is that if we all have done things that we wish we could take back. But since you can't take them back, how can you learn from them and how can you teach other people about them? And that's really all I can do. I mean, if I had to go back now, even though it being the worst day of my life when I got expelled, if I could go back now and change what had happened, I probably wouldn't.
Really?
I don't think so. I don't think I would change anything.
Mm-hmm. I was looking at another review on Goodreads where the woman says, "Oh, this story really made me homesick about this wonderful part of my life." Have you read this one?
Oh, I'm sorry.
It says, "While reading Wild Dogs, An Adventure in Adolescence by Christos Calogero, I went on a roller coaster of emotions."
You nailed it.
Stop it. "From laughter to small tears up to nostalgia. What's the best about this book is the fact that it deals with a true urban legend. I felt I identified with many moments and events in the narrative, not to mention the feelings I was able to have come alive again. I believe everybody can feel the same as me. High school could be a great time to remember, or the memories down, or memories are buried deep down. And she said, it was a roller coaster of emotions from laughter to small tears up to nostalgia. And let's see, skipping further down, it says, everyone would enjoy this novel. I say this as a special something that caught my attention instantaneously. Oh, it has a special something. The language used has a lot to do with this because it leads the focus to the facts. And let me see. I should have got my readers for this. The language used has a lot to do with this because it leads the focus to the facts and events rather than to the understanding of difficult structures. So I think that's a lot of people are affected by not just what's written, but how it's written. You know, I think they feel like how you shared and how you, you know, brought the moment back. Like you, of course, you can't help but look at it from the lens of now looking back. But, you know, you apparently people feel like you took them back. It's almost like a time travel. You took them in to sit and maybe be a participant observer or just an observer.
Before I even started writing my book, there were certain movies I had in mind, and that's Rob Reiner. So I thought about, you know, the first movie I ever watched that made me cry was Stand By Me. And that movie jumped out of the screen and grabbed me and made me laugh and cry. And I was very young and I was starting to develop as a person and emotions and how you categorize them in your everyday life and how that movie touched me. So even many, many, many years ago when I never even thought about writing anything, when I did actually start to write, all of those things I grew up loving, Sandlot, Stand By Me, Stealing Home, Jodie Foster, these are types of movies that I was like, they really influenced my writing skill, even probably have influenced other aspects of my life. But the writing and the descriptiveness and sticking to the point and kind of removing me, the writer, from it, was so important to latch on to people like Stand By Me latched on to me however many years ago.
Well, I think obviously from the reviews, you got there. You got there.
Thank
and that's
got
to be a good feeling.
I appreciate that. And I appreciate everybody that's been supporting it. It's overwhelming.
Let me say, stop just a moment here and say that if you have a question or a comment for Christus, you can give us a call here. The number is 646-716-9922. That's 646-716-9922. It's a toll-free call in the continental U.S., or Blog Talk Radio assures me that it is. And if you're in those situations, Christus, we've all been here. Pretty much, where you've got a question or comment, but you're in a place where you can't make a phone call. I know I had to hide under a desk one time to try to win tickets to a Todd Rundgren concert from a radio. I know what that's like. But you can always, but now, now you can just send a message on Facebook either through Madame Perry Salon or Jennifer Mott at Perry, and I'll make sure it gets to him. And so right now, I have a few messages from some new sponsors, and I'm going to. And we'll be right back in just a couple of minutes.
Ugh, what a day. I just need some me time for once. Yes, perfect. I got the new bath bombs today. Peach and clove, here we come. Mim and the Anvil makes the best smelling herbal blends of bath bombs. You can order loose or ground herb, added buttermilk, extra large, even ones with hidden gifts inside. There are over 25 essential oil varieties. After today, my body definitely needs some spiritual nourishment and lots of fizz. Her metaphysical blends are soothing in more ways than one. Visit mimandtheanvil.com today. Make time for yourself. There are over 100 herbal blends of bath bombs. Keep a healthy body and mind. Feed your soul. Visit mimandtheanvil.com today. If you don't make time for yourself, no one else will.
There's no doubt everyone loves true crime podcasts these days, and there's a new podcast that you will want to add to your playlist, Murder Mondays. Host Nicole Simmons travels and interviews victims and families of murderers in South Carolina. She's a small-town girl who's a wife and business owner, and Murder Mondays is a passion project for her. She brings you the facts and personal stories of the people affected by the most heinous crimes in South Carolina. If you enjoy true crime podcasts, Murder Mondays is for you. Murder Mondays with your host, Nicole Simmons, available on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and other podcast players. Add Murder Mondays with Nicole Simmons to your playlist right now.
So, Chuck, talk to us about Fizdale being the Knicks' new coach. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I tell you right now, Ernie, it don't matter who gonna coach this team. They don't got no talent on it. And I don't feel like talking about the Knicks right now.
Want to talk about lunch?
No.
What would you like to talk about, Chuck?
See, Ernie, I've been listening to a podcast called Madame Perry's Salon. And I think Jennifer Perry, she's a great host. I mean, she got all these bestseller authors, Rostov, all the comedians.
What about people that don't have rings?
Here we go.
Real funny, Chuck. Real funny. But I think she's great, and I think people would love her show. She got a great laugh. She make the laugh come out of nowhere like an eagle come in there and just steal the whole show. It's a beautiful thing. It's not terrible.
Well, sometimes not terrible is the greatest I can hope for, or maybe greatest many of us can hope for. Another podcast I want to tell you about is called Minding My Business. Now, the host, Avi, he interviews some fascinating people. His description says talking about different aspects of life, talking to different people from different professions all around the world, but keeping things light and wonderful. And I'll tell you, I've listened to several of these, but let me just read the headlines, or rather the titles or topics. In one, he's talking to Imogen Tagney about self-care, motivation, and yoga. And then just the week before that, he's talking about propaganda hypnotism by governments. He's in conversation with Brian Halliday, which is fascinating. And, well, I'm not going to tell you more about that, because then I'm going to wonder if they're hypnotizing me. And what else has he got here? Chernobyl 1986 nuclear disaster. Another one about how to make money from Facebook. It's in conversation with Daisha Wadup. Tell you all about how to make money off Facebook. I think I better go listen to that one again. Also, a conversation with Anna Schmidt about the cultural shift from England to China. She moved from England to China to set up her business during the pandemic of all time. So, yeah. And, of course, The Art of Talking to Strangers, in conversation with author Jackie Rom. Sometimes it's difficult for adults to talk to strangers. I always say just treat people the way you want to be treated, and you can go into the conversation. But I think with the pandemic, maybe we're getting out of practice dealing with real people in real life. So just check it out. And it's called Minding My Business with Avi. And, of course, I will be sharing the links to this podcast along with all of my other sponsors on all of my social media, not just from Madame Perry Salon, but also on my Jennifer Perry social media. So since a lot of my guests listen to the show, they say when they're jogging or driving to and from work or somewhere, that way you don't have to write it down. I'll make sure you get the information you need. Now let's get back with, I don't know, the author of Wild Dogs, An Adventure in Adolescence, Christos Caligari. Caligari.
I think I like Caligari better.
Do you? The allegory of Caligari.
Let's switch it up, keep it fresh.
Yeah, people will never know. keep everybody a little on the edge. So, Wild Dogs, well, is that an allegory? I'm not sure, to rhyme with Caligari. So, Wild Dogs, An Adventure in Adolescence. Now, I know people call kids wild beasts, wild animals, little monsters. Do you think you guys were really deserving of the term of being called wild dogs?
Absolutely.
Step up and say it. Be proud.
You got to own it.
when you say though that you, if you could go back, you wouldn't change anything. I think to me that means that there's, you found a lot of value in those experiences, and I certainly do. And I think all the reviews I've read seem to find value. Where else do we learn but from experience?
Correct.
What about any situations was there anything where you were absolutely terrified?
When I was waiting to get the results back for what had happened in my, you know, expulsion meeting, if you'll call that, that was frightening and scary and just the unknown. I'm somebody, I think when I get older, I like to be in control. That means I like to control situations, but I like to know, okay, I'm going to go to the gym at this time. I'm going to eat at this time. I like to have a routine. I like to be in control of what's going to happen. But a lot of times we face things in life where they're out of our control. And this was one of those situations. So for frightening, in a short answer, yeah, I would say any time when I was waiting on what a punishment would be, especially the time of when the punishment was as severe as it could be, that was what was frightening.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I have a message from Mario Lennon, and he is in – oh, he's in Liverpool, UK, and he's saying, great show, Madam Perry. This book sounds spot on. Okay, thank you, Mario. I appreciate that.
That's awesome, yeah.
And let's see, I've got one more over here. Okay, this is from Milt, and he's in Vermont. He said, definitely, since when he mentioned Rob Reiner, I was already thinking that this book would make a great movie. Does he have any plans for a film?
I do, and can't say much now, but there's definitely been some talks, which is exciting. And I mean, it just comes down to wanting to do it my way. And there's people that I went to school with that I find quite humorous that helped influence my character and probably a lot of my writing skill as well. And I just want to be able to have them involved. It does not mean final say, but I need to have some type of creative control to get it to the big screen. And absolutely, that's next on the list. And I know it's not going to be easy, but I'm willing to put the time in and just want to go with the right team to present it to the right way.
You know, I think that's a little bit more doable today than it was, you know, decades past. It was this way or no way. You know, somebody said my way or the highway, but I think there seems to be more. Well, you know, don't forget, Atlanta's a big place for movies.
I did not know that.
Oh, really? It's one of the top three towns for filmmaking in the U.S. And then you ought to go down to Tyler Perry. Oh, yeah, we've got stuff going on all the time.
Wonderful.
Yeah, Stargirl, Black Lightning, a lot of TV shows as well as films, and Tyler Perry Studios. And
let me tell you, that
place is a city in itself. I've worked there several times. And when you drive in, even the security, you know, they're very famous clients, but you go there, and he's starting to add in a big Publix grocery store and all kind of stuff, so you could just about live there if you work there and never have to go anywhere else. But yeah, we got a lot going on down here. Stranger Things. Yeah, we got a lot. So don't count us out.
No, never. I wouldn't. I, you know, that's the thing though too. There's no counting anybody out. I think anybody that wants to take a chance on me is worth listening to. I'm a firm believer to stick to what I know and to delegate what I don't, and I certainly don't. I didn't know anything about books before I wrote one. I don't know anything about movies, but I'd love to take a stab at it. And I'm someone that will put the work in, regardless of what the task is. And I don't think that this would be any different. It would just be a learning experience, and that's how you learn, is to get in the mud. And I am excited to do it. I know what's going to happen. We just don't know who we're going to do it with yet. So options opened.
Okay, Axel in San Diego says, and I know the pandemic has made this kind of thing tough, but Have you or do you plan to be going out on the road at all with your books or doing reading in bookstores?
I would love to. I mean, that's something that the media team that's taken me on is something that we're going to have to discuss. So far, I haven't. I haven't done anything in person. I would love to and really spread the message for the foundation and just to spread the book of lessons that I wrote. And absolutely, I'd love to. There's nothing planned yet, but doesn't mean I wouldn't.
Well, while we got a moment, let's go ahead and talk about the foundation too.
So Mandy Schwartz went to school. She was always 1 year below me. And when you have a student that comes to Notre Dame, what they want is for the student to excel academically, with sports, as a character, as a person, which is what Mandy had become. And after she had graduated, she went on to Yale University. And 2 years into Yale, she was getting fatigued, and they didn't really know why. They thought that she had anemia, which is can be like a sleeping disorder. And they got her tested and found out that she had leukemia. And I won't get into too much detail about how that all works, because I'm certainly not an expert. But if people can, when they get my book, if they can follow the links and get more informed, there's ways to get involved by swabbing your cheek, getting into the system. You can be a bone marrow match for anybody out there in the world. There's people that need matches every day. And it's just something that really hit me because, Mandy wasn't somebody that I was friends with, but we both went to the school at the same time when there was only, 300 and some kids. So everybody knew each other. And when you are top of the same people, you eat the same food, you breathe the same air, it certainly affected me and a lot of other people that I know when they saw Mandy going through these struggles and how she dealt with them. And it's something that I think more people should know about. Her story has and will continue to save a lot of lives.
Okay, and just for everyone, the website is Mandy, Mandi17.org, and that's the number one, the number seven, or Mandi17.org. And there's also a page on Twitter, is that Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram? I never can tell the Tumblr.
Just Google Mandy's. If anybody Googles Mandy Schwartz, there'll be quite a bit of content, and it's easily navigated to where you need to go. And I appreciate everybody in advance for checking that out.
Yeah, definitely. It's a great organization, and from what I've seen and what I believe from you, this is an organization where you feel like you'll know where the money's going.
Yes, for sure. I'm actually Mandy's family is some people that I'm quite close with, and a lot of the funds, be it towards her bursary or the foundation at Yale, goes to help people get educations and put them through a good system that have a sporting skill and some that don't. And it's it's something that I really believe in, and there's a lot to cover there. So again, I'd love for people just to click on those websites and see how they can get involved.
Okay, yeah, and they also, Yale hosts the annual Mandy Schwartz Marrow Donor Registration Drive in the spring, and so many people are involved and support this organization, but they still need more because you can't give enough to help people.
You can, this is what's really unique about this foundation is we're not asking people for money. We're asking you, if you're between the ages of 25 and 35, you can get into the system and possibly be a match for somebody. There's been over 40 people that are alive today just from Mandy's efforts. That's not swabbing in general. That's just Mandy's efforts. It's over 40 people. And some of these people have met. They've become friends. It's just the most incredible thing to witness. It's incredibly rewarding. And I hope out of this that there'll be two strangers out there that get connected in some way.
All right, fantastic. And there's also, I'll be sharing. I'll tell you what, I'll be putting this out on all of my social media so you'll know what's going on.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate that.
Oh, it's a pleasure. The Mandy Schwartz Foundation. And, definitely. That's a good place to put your money these days if you're wondering what can I do and you know it's going to really do what you intended. Thank you. And thank you so much for all that you do to put your efforts toward the book. You don't just talk about it. You don't just do a little bit. You give a lot, don't you?
Yeah, it's just was this story in this book when this project was never about money. It was about spreading this message. And, you know, even if, you know, a lot of people I know, there's people that have their handouts and they want you to donate. And there's many foundations out there and they're deserving. You buy this book, all of the proceeds go to the foundation. You get a good laugh and we get the proceeds to help further all this stuff. And then you can get involved with matching if it permits. So it works on many angles, and it's really exciting stuff.
Oh, fantastic. Christos, what do you have coming up next? You're not on a tour, but how about some virtual book readings for us so people can get a little bit of the live work with people?
I'll do anything and anywhere. It's just I got a good media team that's guiding me. I think that they're smart enough to not tell me too much at one time so I don't get overwhelmed. As this is, and they're just great. Everybody at TGC, they're just awesome. And yeah, just taking it as it comes and trying to do the best with what's in front of me. And I had just an absolute blast today. And I want to say thank you to you and to all the viewers that are, you know, taking the time to hear me ramble on here.
Well, thank you so much. And yes, I am. Like I say, my listeners are, I'm probably the most blessed, the luckiest podcaster in the world, because my listeners are just a variety of fascinating people, but they have quite a variety of interests themselves, and they also bring, usually by the time the guest comes on, they know more than probably anybody that's ever interviewed them. So I'm lucky there. Thank you so much. We wish you much continued success with your book, and Wild Dogs and Adventure and Adolescent. I can tell your success is only going to grow. Look forward
Thank
to
you.
Whatever you do, Netflix series, film, I don't know, but I think it's going to be fantastic. And any last words to the people there?
Just thank you guys so much, and keep living and keep laughing.
All right. That's the best. And as I always say, be good to yourself, be good to each other. And or my mantra, everybody's got to swing. Thank you so much. And this is Madam Perry signing off.